Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Astoria Sunday Market is a huge success. Brings visitors in to our area and provides opportunities for locals to shop, to visit, to eat, and to have unique experiences. The Astoria Sunday Market also does many important and valuable things for the community. And today we're going to find out some little-known facts about Astoria Sunday Market and some ways that you can engage with Astoria Sunday Market. We're right in the halfway point. Astoria Sunday Market takes place from Mother's Day in May until the second weekend in October. And today I have the Astoria Sunday Market's executive director in the studio, Cindy Mudge. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, hi, Donna.
Before we talk about Astoria Sunday Market, you've been the executive director there for 4 years, and you have implemented some really terrific new programs. Let's talk a teeny bit about Cindy Mudge for listeners who may not be familiar with you.
Well, I moved here in 2003. I'm originally from Seattle area. Lived in Seattle downtown, actually, for quite a number of years, and then came here for the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial. So it was supposed to be a 3-year stint, and here I am still in Astoria in 2012 and loving it.
Astoria works its magic on people, doesn't it?
It does. It's hard to leave.
People feel that sense of community and the world going by your doorstep, literally, with the ship traffic and the weather and all of that.
There really is a certain excitement living here where the river and the ocean meets. You just can't beat it.
A lot of energy, that's for sure. And the Astoria Sunday Market has been taking place since the year 2000. So we're 12 years into this market.
Yes.
It must have started out perhaps, well, it's now either the second or third largest market in the state. So it must have started out, though, kind of, I would think it would be a fairly small market.
Yeah, I actually remember visiting it in 2001 when I came here with my parents on Mother's Day, opening day. And it was definitely smaller then. And Joyce, who is the former director, had talked about how it started out with maybe 20 or 30 vendors. And she really actually grew it to pretty much its size today. So she kind of took a fledgling market and stabilized it, grew it and stabilized it. So that allows me to have the fun of incorporating new programs and doing things that, since it's already built up, I can now do new things that Joyce wasn't able to do.
How many vendors are there typically? And I know things change from Sunday to Sunday.
Right. Typically, we actually get over 200 applications. But on any given Sunday, we'll have anywhere between 130 and 150 individual vendors.
That's a lot. That takes up several blocks and down in the heart of downtown Astoria. And what are the requirements to be a vendor at Astoria Sunday Market?
You have to make or grow your own product to be a vendor. So we don't allow people who sell things that are basically reselling wholesale items, that type of thing. We really are American-made, supporting micro businesses, farmers, and artisans is really a huge part of our mission.
And if you were going to describe, like if someone said, well, Astoria Sunday Market, what will you find there? What are the various categories of items that you would find?
For the modern shopper, it's really kind of your one-stop shopping. We are really a big outdoor shopping mall. You can find pretty much anything from honey and produce and baked goods and cured meats to clothing and artwork and crafts, cutting boards, pretty much anything you need for your home, including pet supplies, you can find at the market. And what's not at our market, you can find at the downtown stores. So the market actually really complements your downtown shopping.
I know. I have my tomato plants are from the Astoria Sunday Market, and also a rose bush so you have a lot of people love the fresh flowers and the plants.
Right. And people get a lot of their gardening needs taken care of downtown at the market and at some of the local shops. So it works really well. If you want to go to one place and get all your shopping needs done and have fun doing it, the Sunday Market is where you go.
Well, it's more than just really a shopping opportunity. There are a lot of social components too, because there's music every Sunday.
There is. It's really become for locals, it's really kind of a big town square. It's where you go. I know before I took over the market, I used to go to the market every Sunday because that's where I'd meet everybody outside of meetings and work environment. You'd run into all sorts of people that you don't see during the week, or and they're more relaxed and you're chatting. So it's really kind of a big town square for us during its season. So that part is really fun. And I've really, because I come from Seattle, and so I'm used to the Pike Place Market where we have a lot of buskers. And so that's street entertainment. Buskers. We don't know the term out here.
All right. Yes. Let's define buskers. How do you spell that?
Buskers, B-U-S-K-E-R-S. And okay, that's just basically a word that means street entertainers. So it could be musicians, it could be jugglers, it could be balloon artists. So anyone who's been to the Pike Place Market knows that there's all sorts of entertainment on the streets there. And so I wanted to bring a little bit of that here. I'm kind of used to having that entertainment. And it's taken a while to build up, but we get a lot of interesting entertainment, everything from cellists who will sit and do beautiful classical music to young kids who are just starting out and kind of trying to see what it's like to perform. So you get just a whole breadth of entertainment out there. We had earlier this year, we had a fun opportunity where a fellow showed up and he had a upright piano built into as a bicycle, and he had a companion who sang, and I can hardly walk and chew gum at the same time, and this guy was pedaling and playing at the same time, and every now and then they'd stop and sing, and so they would just go right straight down the street. It was huge. It was fun. It was spectacular, and that's the kind of stuff I love seeing show up at the market just randomly.
I think people really would like to see unexpected things happen because so much of our lives are prescribed, you know, this is what you do every day. And I think that sense of wonder, of surprise is really what you have with a street fair or with street life. And in Europe and in other cultures, that's where they go to do their shopping. And that's where they go to get together with their families and their cousins and whatever. So so that component is very important. Along with the products, it's really, I think, essential that we have a place for street artists, buskers.
Yes. Yes. And you're right. That sense of surprise is so nice and so wonderful and gives you something to talk about. Our lives are so regulated anymore, and we're so used to being kind of spoon-fed somebody else's canned, very cleaned up, sanitized entertainment these days that the most fun part of running a festival or an open-air market is just the people watching and seeing what shows up.
Yeah, you just don't know.
This last weekend, we had a gentleman walking through the market wearing a cardboard box. I believe he's wearing boxers underneath it. But, you know, just strolling along, shopping like anyone else. A couple years ago, a young kid who I'm assuming lost a bet ran through the market holding a cardboard box. So you get these odd things that show up, and it's all good fun, and people have a good time with it.
Yep, silliness. We need more silliness
in
the world.
We do need more silliness.
Absolutely. Take ourselves and everything else way too seriously. Okay, so let's talk about some of the programs that you've all have that you have in particular, Cindy, started with the market, and also the contributions to the community the Estuary Market makes.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, what people don't realize is part of our mission, actually the crux of our mission, is to revitalize downtown Astoria. And so over the years, the market board has given $140,000 to various projects. And so that's one of our goals, is promoting downtown revitalization and giving money, especially to things that may be hard to raise money for. So, but also things like the Liberty Theater, we do give money to that, and to the music festival. We provided a large portion of the funds to build the public restrooms that are downtown. And more recently, we helped provide funds to add in the new improved benches and plant boxes, and also included the bike racks, which we desperately needed in this town. And I love the new trash cans. It's very Astoria, you know, and it really does help those little things that spiff up your downtown. Outsiders notice that, and it just makes a more inviting place for both tourists and actually for us locals too to shop downtown.
And it is a market for everyone. I know that when and on my trips to Portland, I see the Astoria Sunday Market flyer in, you know, Rich's Cigar Store all over Portland. You really have distributed that so that people know this is a place to come. And we have a lot of visitors from out of town who come and shop here and want to stay here and be part of it.
Yeah, we do publish a market guide every year that lists the vendors who have signed up by the time of our deadline. We usually have quite a few more that aren't in the guide, and we try and put those online. But you're right, I really try and I produce that guide to get it out into Portland as well as locally, because it's not just about bringing them to see the market. I really want to entice them to come to downtown Astoria and see everything we have to offer. So that's our one big promotional tool that we try and get out into the outlying areas.
Right. Well, supporting our downtown merchants is really vital to keep our downtown healthy. So, all right, let's talk about these programs that you've initiated.
Yeah, we have a few new things. One is the Foragers Feast. We have only two more this year. And we did this because I want to try and find ways to engage local merchants and restaurants in our market. And the Foragers Feast was something we put together with Chef Chris Holland of Baked Alaska. Basically, people, they do pay a fee. It's $45. But with that, they get basically a shopping spree through the market. Chris goes out in advance to see what's there. He puts together some ingredients. And then each of the participants are given a list of ingredients. So it's almost like a scavenger's feast. They have to go out and find these ingredients at the market. And so it makes for a fun shopping trip. And then they come back, and they don't know until they get back what they're going to make for their breakfast brunch that day. And basically, Chris sits down with them, and together they decide what to make, and they help Chris make it. So it's really an interactive, fun event. You learn a lot about what you're buying and shopping and how to prepare it and different ways to prepare it. And Chris really is good at finding unusual things. We have one vendor who sells mostly pastries, but she also sells edible flowers and a few other things. So he's incorporated that into some of his dishes, as well as the fresh seafood and other items. So he really does a great job of kind of pulling together some unusual things and saying, hey, here's a new way to cook, and it's quick and it's easy and delicious.
So the Foragers Feast is an actual event that happens,
right?
And you only have two left. And what are the two that are?
Right. Actually, one's coming up this Sunday, August 5th. And the other one is September 16th.
And how does one sign up for that? And what are the hours?
You sign up at Mise en Place, the kitchenware store associated with Baked Alaska. Or you can call them at the 325-7414 number, and they'll take your reservation. You might want to stop in even that morning and see if they'll take a walk up. He can take about 13 or so people at any one time. And the whole thing starts at 10 o'clock, where you meet at Mise en Place and you get your list of ingredients and coupons to buy them with, because it comes with the shopping coupons. And you hit the streets, and you're usually done around noon or 1 o'clock.
That sounds like so much fun. I know my neighbor just did that with a couple of friends from out of town, and she thought it was fabulous. They just laughed and giggled and did some things they'd never done before.
Yeah, exactly. And thanks to one of the regular participants, Lisa Reed, we are hopefully soon going to take some of the recipes there and start putting them online. She's kind of our Foragers Feast reporter, and that's kind of my next goal, is to get their recipes online from the season, so that then someone can do their own Foragers Feast right offline and do it anytime. So that part will be fun, and we're hoping to have that up and online in the next week or so.
Is there information about the Foragers Feast itself on the Astoria Sunday Market website?
Right. That's just AstoriaSundayMarket.com.
Okay. So if you're interested in the Foragers Feast and participating, and what a great thing to even do with, you know, teenagers or, you know, children of different ages, perhaps not the tiny ones, but you just never know. What a great fun experience. So you can get in touch with Astoria Sunday Market, go to their website, or call Baked Alaska, Mise en Place, and register for that. So that's this Sunday and then September 16th.
Right.
Okay. And Terry, our engineer, just said the food court. He loves the food court. There's so much. We didn't really talk about the fact that you can buy prepared food, wonderful breakfasts and lunches, ethnic foods. Yeah. There's a big
food
court.
It's an international food court. We have a little bit of everything there. In fact, the Himani's Indian Restaurant started there. there at the market. And so that's really fun when we see a business start at the market and move into a bricks and mortar. So they're still one of our regular vendors. You can get falafels and heroes there. You can get some of the best hamburgers, I think, anywhere at the market. There's Asian food. There's really excellent Mexican food there. So it's really kind of a fun place.
Some of the best lemonade, too.
Oh, yes. Tiki Juice. And what's, again, we're really proud of her. She's basically started out with this. I say, God, you're making your living off of a lemonade stand. How did you do that? But it's more than that. She's got this really healthy drink, and she's also moved into a bottled product. Her tiki juice can be purchased now as a bottled product, and very nutritious and just an excellent product. And so it's really fun watching vendors as their success grows and they start moving into other things. So we just love the fact that Angela has just grown so much, and even since I've been there.
Just starting from a little lemonade booth at the Sunny Market, and yep. Now her beautifully bottled and delicious tiki juice is sold like at the historic co-op and various places throughout the community.
And she's been with the market since the beginning. I think she's one of the people who started in 2000, and I think in all the years she's probably missed only one Sunday.
That's dedication. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking about the Astoria Sunday Market with Astoria Sunday Market Executive Director Cindy Mudge. We're halfway into the Sunday Market. It takes place from Mother's Day in May until the second weekend of October. And we've just been talking about the Forager's Feast. And now speaking of what Angela has done with Tiki Juice. Mm-hmm. That shows entrepreneurial skills, and she started there, and now she has a business. Let's talk about Biz Kids. That's the program that you started.
Yeah, I'm really proud of the young people who are involved in that program. We've been doing this since 2009 now, and we've got a great partnership with Clatsop County 4-H. And the kids, those who start at the beginning of the program in February, go through a series of workshops where we basically guide them through the process of developing a product, manufacturing it, marketing it, salesmanship, right down to how to count money back and budget. So they go through that whole process, and then we give them basically the Market Biz Kids tented area. We provide the tents and so forth, but they set them up. I set them out, but they actually haul them over there and with their parents set them up. So they get the whole experience from beginning to end. And they just come up with some great products, some unusual things, but also they new twists on things you might see, like even pet products have a slightly different twist when they do it. And the great thing is they do pretty well. They earn pretty good money sometimes at the market and really develop some strong skills. And some of them now have been with us a few years.
What are the ages, and how do children get involved with Biz Kids?
You know, we take, we kind of mirror 4-H in that we take them from kindergarten through high school. So wow. K through 12. And for those who remember the Pup Cakery, the two girls who, very cute, had their little outfits, chef's outfits, and they did dog treats. And her first one actually was a miniature cupcake for the dogs. And her sister, the little one, was I think only 5 when they started. And she does artwork. Dogs with crowns was her signature product. So we have that. We have Mary Altieri, who a lot of people know as a goat cheese gal. And she went from being a Biz Kid to she and her mom have their own booth and have been vending regularly at the cruise ship markets, which I have to say, that's a really hard market to vend at because the weather can be so wild and crazy and bizarre. But she's been to pretty much almost every cruise ship since they started. So we have some kids who have just really blossomed and grown on their own.
So even if a young person, so these classes start in February. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have a first grader or a seventh grader and they don't know quite what they might want to sell at the market, but they'd like to be, you know, they'd like to develop something. They're entrepreneurial. They have that spirit. They can go to a workshop and you can say, well, here's what the market sells. Here's what people are interested in. And then if they have an idea, like the message in the bottle, remember that was
And that one now is sold at the Columbia
River Maritime Museum.
Maritime Museum, and I believe also the Portland Museum. So that's another success where he's no longer vending at the market, but he continues as a teenager now selling his product wholesale to some of these stores.
I think it's very important that young people are allowed to dream and have ideas and create things rather than just, you know, have information handed to them and they
right.
process it. And this is a great way for somebody, for the light bulbs to go off and just...
I think it's a great way for them to express their creativity, but also they're building good, strong work ethic. They're learning some financial skills. They're learning some organizational skills. And they're learning how to deal with the public, so they're getting some speaking skills. And we do try and get them out occasionally to present in front of groups. So they get a pretty well-rounded experience that I hope carries them through their first job. And for those, whether or not they own their own business down the road, they'll be a better employee, I think, as a result of doing this entrepreneurial program here.
Absolutely. You also have, we have the Commercial Fishermen's Festival coming up. There's a rubber boot
yes.
contest. Let's talk.
It's the Rubber Boot Fashion Glam and Art Jam, and that's a mouthful.
Okay, could you say that one more time?
The Rubber Boot Fashion Glam and Art Jam.
All right. What is that?
Basically, it's a celebration of our liquid sunshine. We've had a lot of rain. And rather than fight it, we know it's going to happen, especially as we hit September. We thought, you know, let's just come celebrate it. And we're actually working with the Women's Resource Center of Clatsop County. It's basically a fundraiser that's going to hopefully provide them with some funds. But basically what we're doing is we want people to kind of glam up or paint or decorate rubber boots or turn them into art projects. They can repurpose them into purses or lampshades or whatever you want to do. Just take an ordinary rubber boot, used or new or whatever, and donate it. You can donate it right at downtown at the market at our portable office, which is always at 12th and Duane. And what we're going to do in September, on September 22nd, is we're going to have basically a fashion show kick off the market that day down the middle of the street. And we're going to have... I guess we can have men and women wear the boots, hopefully wearing some unusual things with the boots, wedding dresses, evening gowns, cocktail dresses with the rubber boots. And we'll do this parade. We'll end at where the old Columbia Travel is at 12th and Duane, which is getting refurbished now for the Liberty Theater. And they've agreed to kind of let us utilize that space. The boots will then be on display there for the rest of Sunday. And people can vote for their favorite boot by stuffing money in the boot. The money that goes in the boot goes directly to the Women's Resource Center, and the boot that earns the most money, of course, will win first place, and they'll get a pair of Boggs boots as the big prize, and we'll have some other prizes for second and third place as well.
All right. So if I just say, oh, this sounds fun. Okay, I have an old pair of rubber boots at home, so I could just decorate these rubber boots in any way. Rhinestones, paint, glue paper on it, whatever it is, right?
Right.
Because obviously rainproof would be good, I guess, but hey, whatever.
You know.
I don't know. So I decorate these boots. Then I put my name in them and say, okay, these boots, I decorated these boots. And then I come down and I give them to you because
yes.
you're at the trailer at, you know, your little portable office there at Sunday Market. And then what's the date that people are modeling them?
That'll be September 22nd. So that'll be a fun kickoff to the market. We'll do the parade portion first thing in the morning, right down through the market. We'll do that. So that part should also be fun. You'll want to be at the market early that day to watch the ladies and possibly some men show off their rubber boots.
Okay, so that's a way to support the Women's Resource Center
mm-hmm.
because the money goes to the Women's Resource Center, and to do a fun project with your children. You would accept even children's rubber boots, right?
Any rubber boots.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any rubber boots. So if you're listening, here's a way to figure out something to do with a rubber boot, and to then you have, what, 3 weeks or so?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, a little more than that. Actually, September, that's right. We're just August 1st now. Okay, so you have about a month and a half to decorate some rubber boots, and that sounds fun.
Well, and actually on September 9th, which is the weekend of the Commercial Fishermen's Festival, we're going to have a art boot camp. So the Women's Resource Center are going to put up a booth, and they'll have some paint supplies there. So people who want to come and paint a boot right there. It'll become this art boot camp. So that should be fun that weekend as well.
Well, let's talk about the Commercial Fishermen's Festival and Amy, I believe.
Yeah, Amy Roloff of Little People Big World. She is actually coming to the Commercial Fishermen's Festival to do a cooking demonstration. She's coming out with a cookbook in October. And as part of that, she's actually going to be at the market first thing in the morning on the Sunday, September 9th. And so that'll be a lot of fun. She and Chef Holland are going to do a tour of the market. And you need to watch for our website and Facebook page because we're going to have a little contest so that maybe six or so lucky winners will get to kind of shop the market with Amy and Chef Holland and kind of tour the market and hear them talk about the produce and foods that they come across as they go through the market. And then she'll do some sort of signing at Mise en Place before going to the Commercial Fishermen's Festival and doing a couple of cooking demos.
And we'll do a program about the Commercial Fishermen's Festival later this month. This year it's being held in Hammond, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, at the Hammond Marina.
And, okay, and that's the weekend of September 8th and 9th.
Right.
All right. So so the Astoria Sunday Market is really tied in with all kinds of things because you're involved with the Commercial Fishermen's Festival.
Yeah, we did. In fact, it started at our the festival started with us in 2008, so we kind of want to remain involved. But also anything we can do to engage the community and tourists in our downtown and engage with our merchants, that's what we're all about. We want people to come here and have a great time. And so even though the event itself is now in Hammond, it still brings an awful lot of people downtown. And a lot of them do shop at the market before and downtown before heading to the festival on Sunday. So we're always really pleased to see all these folks come from the Midwest and other places, and they've never seen our wonderful river and the ocean.
Well, the Astoria Sunday Market does many, many good things, and I have so much respect for all the vendors who come in sometimes howling wind and rain. They are setting up their tents and their booths at like 5 a.m. or something because they need to be ready to go, all set up, you know, early, early in the morning. And I have a lot of respect, and some of them drive quite a distance. So
yes,
supporting our vendors at Astoria Sunday Market and any farmers market, anything like that, is a wonderful thing to do for the community.
It is. And you know what? And they show up at early in the morning to set up and transform the streets because our shoppers always show up in the rain and the wind too. So
I was going to ask about that. I know those sunny days, there are throngs of people,
right.
But truly even in the rain, people come and they want to get their, you know, the things that they love.
We
they
do. Us Oregonians are hearty shoppers.
It's true. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for all the good things that you're doing as executive director of the Astoria Sunday Market and, you know, the Bids Kids program, the things you do for the community. So if you want more information, why don't you give your website about the Foragers Feast this Sunday and in September also the Rubber Boot Celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just AstoriaSundayMarket.com.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Well, thank you, Donna.
See you at the market. And Terry Wilson, I'll see you at the food court, I guess. That sounds
Don't
like where you like
to hang out. Don't forget the food court.
The food court with the lemonade from Angela. All right. I want to thank all of you who listen to Talk of Our Towns, which airs each Wednesday morning. Thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life and focus on those good things. That will expand them. Focus on feeling good and being grateful for what we do have in our lives that's good and working. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists now on the amazing planet we call Earth.